To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Getting into the meat of Vatican Abdicator, the third book of the Vatican Assassin Trilogy. Our lead character, BC, now pretty much running, well, the world. Kind of. At least humanity's attempts at defending themselves and governing themselves. He's pretty much running the United Trade Zone, which is the controlling power. He's got some help from Anita and the project, and powerful CEO Richard Wentworth, who's kind of like the power behind the scenes. He's backing BC, and that doesn't hurt, you know? But even with that power, BC's big ask for the New Catholic Church and the United Islamic Nation to come up with a joint holy book to share with other alien races. That's maybe too big an ask. But he made it. Now he's going to be heading to Vatican City. BC heads to Vatican City to meet with his successor, because BC was the Pope, he abdicated. And Mbeke took over. He's now Pope John Paul IV. Get into the nitty-gritty in this chapter, as BC talks about both the book project and, of course, is getting ready for the war to resume, watching over his shoulder for Dolome and the Eldred and their next attacks. It's kind of funny, I realized I cited both Rumi and Rilke in this chapter, so it's a little bit deeper chapter than the last one. Our post-war government gets its possible name, too. So that's coming up. If chapter 13, our last chapter, was a little fast, this one gets nice and slow, nice and deep. Maybe I was making up for the last one, I don't know. That's chapter 14 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up in a minute or two on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of book news. Still working on the first draft of Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth. I don't want to say too much. Gotta get back to it. It's a rough week this week, but, you know, it's top of my mind. That said, I did get some colored art back from Juan Carlos Quatordio. Not only is he our musician that provides the music for the podcast, but he's a longtime comic book collaborator with me. And he's doing the color for the pens and inks that Christian Navarro is doing, as he does the BC pages, so to speak, of the new Alibi Jones story, Christmas Present. So I just got some of those back from Juan Carlos. Very cool. It's happening. And speaking of happening, keep the show happening. Could use your help, as always. Head to Patreon to do that and sign up for a monthly contribution. I'm kind of like PBS that way. I can use your help. And you can do $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month to help keep the podcast going. Just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And the link is in the show notes as well. Your support is appreciated and certainly welcome. We'll do chapter 14 of Vatican Abdicator next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Power Time Machine podcast?
Yeah,
but he won't listen. He hates everything.
I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kinda accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the wait. GeekRadioDaily.com.
Now here's chapter 14 of Vatican Abdicator, on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC and Mbeke finally meet on Leap Day, February 29th, in Mbeke's offices in Vatican City. BC can tell by the expression on the Pope's face as he meets Mbeke that whatever news there is, it isn't good news. "We can't do it," Mbeke says as they settle into chairs in Mbeke's offices. "What do you mean? You can't do what?"
"We cannot reconcile these two very different religions, BC. Not even for a book. There's no way. My people have been sitting at the table with the people sent by the Caliph. We've gone over the Quran and the Bible, but there's no common ground. They say the Quran has to be in Arabic, its original tongue. How do you compromise on that? And they look down at our many translations."
"So they won't budge on that?" BC asks.
"No, not at all. Even the more liberal among them hold on to that as an essential element of their faith."
"How about we print it side by side, Arabic and whatever language the book is in?"
"In columns? I don't know if that will work for them."
"What about page by page?" BC asks. He grabs a book off a nearby shelf. "I used to have an old book of poetry by a German poet, Rainer Maria Rilke. The English translation was on the odd-numbered pages, the original German version on the even-numbered pages."
"Huh, no way," Mbeke says. "You read Rilke?"
"Nice," BC says.
"That might work. But you know what they'll say? Not good enough," he says in a mock Arabian accent. "You know they won't allow the Arabic on the odd pages," he notes. "They'll have to be on the left."
"But don't you see, Mbeke? If you can get them arguing about which side the translation goes on, you're already on the road to victory."
"Do you really think so?" Mbeke challenges him.
"Sure," BC says with enthusiasm. "Then you can start arguing over what goes in."
"They want the whole Quran in the book," Mbeke says in exasperation.
"Put it all in then," BC says matter-of-factly, a little impatient. "Do we need alternate translations for the Bible section too?"
"Well, no," Mbeke answers.
"Good. Why does this seem so obvious to me?"
"You are not an unreasonable diehard, BC. We're dealing with dogmatists on both sides. And we have to, because if they're not behind this, nothing will happen. Nothing will really change."
"And how many on our side want to include the entire Bible?"
"Well, there are a few. Most of them. All of them, actually," he mumbles.
"Great," BC says sarcastically, throwing his arms up in exasperation. "So our old guard is just as bad as theirs?"
"Sometimes worse. We have a fundamentalist among our negotiators. He's NCC but still fundy, and he gets the others all rallying around him."
"I knew I should have declared fundamentalism a heresy when I was Pope," BC sighs.
"Wish it was so easy. The NCC is a tolerant church, BC,"
Mbeke mock lectures him.
"The fundies are still not sure they should be part of a church led by an openly gay pope, BC, so I try not to provoke them."
"That's an issue?"
"It is with them."
"Should have excommunicated them," BC says. "I should have, I mean."
"So," Mbeke says, "what would you include, or exclude, from the Book of Unity, from the Bible? You do know the book I mean, right? Ever read it?"
"Mbeke, I was the Pope," BC protests.
"Right. I've known religious leaders with only a passing knowledge of the Bible," Mbeke says.
"Point taken."
"Well," Mbeke presses.
"Well, what?" BC asks.
"What parts of the Bible should be included?"
"You really want to know?"
"Have you ever really thought about this, BC?"
"I have, but you won't like it."
"Probably not," Mbeke concedes. "But go ahead."
"Well, for starters, I'm not really sure we need the Old Testament."
"Let's see what he thinks of that."
"BC, I thought you wanted this book to reflect the Jews, too."
"Okay, maybe we keep Genesis and Exodus. Maybe just Genesis."
"You can't leave out Moses. You've got to have Exodus," Mbeke says.
"Okay, then. Those two. Some of the Psalms, the ones that aren't too tribal and bloodthirsty. Job is good. We can keep the book of Job in there."
"Joshua? Judges?"
"Nah," BC says, dismissing them. "Bloody tribal warfare dressed up as God's will. Bad behavior sanctioned by a bloody tribal god. Don't need all the rules in Leviticus, either."
"There I won't argue," Mbeke says. "Chronicles? Kings?"
"No and no."
"Proverbs? Song of Songs?"
"Some of the Proverbs," BC says, thinking out loud.
Don't think we need Song of Songs. It's like ancient porno.
BC! Becca exclaims. It is a good thing you didn't let people know you felt this way while you were Pope.
I wasn't a very popey Pope,
BC says. That is true, Mbeke agrees. Ecclesiastes?
What, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, that guy?
That's the one.
I kind of like that one, BC admits.
What about the prophets?
Jeremiah's okay.
You know the fundies will demand that we include Daniel,
but I don't see it. None of the later prophets or history books, really, either.
Nor Ezra?
Nah.
None of the Old Testament Apocrypha?
They're not even really part of the Old Testament anyway. Leave them out.
Man, BC, you're a ruthless editor. I almost hate to ask about the New Testament.
You really want to know? The New Testament? Well, I guess the Gospels are okay, but add Thomas's too.
Uh-oh, here we go, Mbeke says.
Drop Revelation entirely, no reason for it.
But
wasn't written by John the Apostle. It's really about Nero and the Roman Empire. Doesn't even mention the Antichrist. Just doesn't belong in the Bible or the Book of Unity.
That'll go over big with the fundies.
They agreed to the consolidation in the NCC, didn't they?
They did. But we have gradings, degrees, and they like that, having the ability to be a part of things and yet still maintain their own way of celebrating their beliefs.
Even when those beliefs create us versus them mentalities? Why keep books in the Bible that breed hatred? BC asks.
Are you on our side? Mbeke asks. Or the Muslims?
BC frowns and doesn't answer.
Sorry, Mbeke says. You've actually been very helpful. Some of your suggestions have merit. I think the idea of Arabic on one page, English on the other, will work with them.
Mbeke changes the subject.
Will you be staying in Vatican City for any services?
He asks BC. Hold on, he says, and checks his calendar. I will. I'll have to leave after the early mass tomorrow. I promised the Brain Trust out in the asteroids that I'd be there soon. They're promising a grand unveiling of some new systems.
Reverse-engineered from the Eldred technology?
Yeah, they made some breakthroughs recently. I haven't been able to see much. They've been quietly holed up with the ship, figuring it all out and coming up with only God knows what.
Well, at least the Eldred have given us some breathing room, and Dolome has been quiet too,
Mbeke says. They've both been too quiet, you know? The Eldred are out there, but they don't talk to us now. There have been rumors from the Domo and the Flays that Dolome is again attacking isolated outposts, but nothing solid. They could be old reports resurfacing. It's hard to know what's going on. The Eldred could be massing forces from across the stars. We have no idea how far their dominion reaches. Part of me dreads the thought that they're gathering ships for a comprehensive final assault on humanity. We don't know where Dolome is nursing his wounds, but we know he'll be back when he's back up to fighting strength. We know there's more coming, but we don't know when. What was that thing, you know, when you've got that sword hanging over your head? BC asks him.
Damocles, Mbeke tells him. The sword of Damocles. Waiting for it to fall, huh?
Pretty much, BC admits. But the project gives me hope. If we can counter the Eldred's current weaponry, we're on our way to beating them. Mbeke looks at him quizzically. The Eldred are a static, unimaginative race, BC explains. If we can block their current technology, they'll be hard-pressed to come up with new ways of attacking us.
I hope you're right, Mbeke says.
Me too, BC admits. BC and Mbeke end their meeting, and BC retires to the quarters provided for him in the Vatican. His comm is flashing, full of queued-up messages. Anita called with an update. Wentworth wants a word. There's also a draft report on independent orbital platforms. BC decides to read the report first. He had UTZ operatives assess the status of the orbital stations that hadn't joined the UTZ Alliance. He wanted to see if any other stations might become allies or offer assistance.
I think we need a new name for our alliance. UTZ doesn't fit anymore. When we ask these old independents to join with us, what do we tell them they're joining? How many stations are still operating?
Some stations are dead, wiped out by the plague, or simply abandoned as crews became scarce. Others are run by rugged individualists who just want to be left alone. Three once thriving stations were wiped out in raids by Dolome in the last year. This leaves a short list of indie stations. All of them are dependent on UTZ currency and trade, but none want to be beholden to the UTZ. BC has been developing a plan to bring them into the fold, beginning by changing the name of the currency. The status report gets him thinking. Calm, BC calls out. A unit appears on the desktop. Get me the Caliph, please, BC says. In a minute or so, the Caliph is on the line.
Greetings and respect, my friend, the Caliph says.
Greetings and salutations, BC responds.
To what do I owe the pleasure of your company,
the caliph asks. I noticed when I was with you on Mars 2 weeks ago that you didn't seem to want to talk about the Book of Unity, BC gets right to the point. Thought maybe we hit a breakdown in the negotiations. I've just met with the Pope. I've suggested some ways to accommodate your needs for the Book of Unity.
Really?
The caliph says, with a hint of surprise. Really? Could your people accept the Quran included both in Arabic and in a second language? BC asks.
So, it would be there in the proper tongue, and also in translation?
BC nods.
That might work, the caliph says. It might.
Thank you, BC says. I also wanted to talk more about our currency ideas. I think I'm going to consolidate the UTZ and UIN currencies as alliance dollars.
If you change the name of the currency, will you then go ahead with a further name change? Will you change the name of the UTZ, too?
The caliph asks him cautiously. Doesn't really seem to fit anymore, does it?
No, but I do not think it would surprise anyone that I do not like the name.
The caliph laughs a quick laugh.
Do you dare, though? What will you call it? The Alliance?
The Alliance? Huh, I don't know. I don't know if the UTZ Council is ready for a new name, so no, not yet. But we have to call the combined currency something. Alliance Dollars has a good ring to it. I think it will get any holdouts to sign on with us once they see we aren't forcing them to become UTZ.
I see. Well, do as you must. On these political issues, I find I usually agree with you. You have been incredibly honest with me, with us, so far, the caliph says. So, no new name for anything yet.
Not yet, caliph. You're the only one I've even discussed this with so far. Nope, no new name. And no Book of Unity.
Well, I am sorry about the book, but that you would discuss this idea of the alliance with me, for that I am honored.
You don't have an ego stake invested in the old names. It's refreshing. There are many in the UTZ and the UIN who do.
Ego stake? The caliph notes the term. I like that. And you, Campion, have very little ego stake, do you?
I do, or I don't, I guess, BC says. I just want to see us survive, he says.
Yes, the caliph says. I have recognized this about you. You really are trying to keep us all alive. How ironic is that for a former assassin?
Old news, BC says. Even then I was only trying to do what was right.
It is funny how that changes, is it not? The caliph observes.
Sure, BC says cautiously. But I think it all has to do with who we call us and who we call them, doesn't it?
Go on, the caliph encourages.
Well, I now define us as the human race, BC says. It's a broader definition than I used to have.
True, but accurate. So who becomes your them? The caliph asks him.
The Eldred? Dolome? Whoever threatens us, I guess.
That makes a certain amount of sense. You know, though, eventually even those them could and should one day become us, the caliph muses.
That's pretty progressive of you, caliph, seeing as how they've been trying to wipe you out.
Thank you. This is a new time for Islam. We are trying to figure out just what submission to the will of Allah really means, the caliph says.
Would it be wrong for me to suggest you're kind of enlightened, caliph? The caliph begins laughing.
Wrong? I guess we shall find out.
So then, you're okay if I change the name, starting with the currency?
I am. Go ahead, the caliph says.
Thank you, caliph, BC says.
What? The Solar Alliance? The caliph asks.
Something like that, BC admits. It shouldn't be named for any one planet of people, he explains.
Name it for the sun. That makes sense.
Thanks, BC says.
I must admit, you are still not what I expected.
No? Is that good?
It has been great, the caliph assures him. You are a continuing revelation to me. You do Allah's work without knowing it. You are like a demon, unknowingly moving as Allah wills.
So that's how you see me, huh? A force for Allah, whether I like it or not.
Pretty much. You do not stand in God's way. That's about as good as we can hope for from a Christian. You do not subordinate yourself to the will of Allah, but you do not actively thwart his will either.
Thanks, I think, BC replies. Do you suppose the human race is actually worth saving? The caliph begins laughing out loud. What? BC asks.
Again, you ask the inconvenient question. Even in the midst of doing all you can to save us all, you aren't afraid to ask the hard questions.
Don't you ever question yourself? BC asks him.
I question whether or not my ego gets in the way of my submission to Allah, the Caliph explains. My questions are, well, deep. I'd like to...
Again, the Caliph laughs. Have you ever read Rumi? Rumi? No, I have no idea.
He was a whirling dervish, a charismatic follower of Islam and of Allah. The Caliph pauses to smile. We would all be better off knowing more Rumi. He was a great poet, you see. He writes of knocking on the door to madness, only to have it opened to find out he was on the other side.
Has the door been opened? BC asks.
I believe it has, the Caliph says. But it remains to be seen which side of the door we end up on, does it not?
Indeed, BC agrees. Thank you, Caliph. Campion out. BC signs off. Shuts off the comm.
The Solar Alliance? Huh. Well, at least the Caliph is on board. The rest of the UTZ Council will need convincing. And Wentworth. Wentworth! That's right, he wanted me to talk to him.
BC gets Wentworth on the comm.
Campion! I was beginning to wonder if you'd gotten lost in the labyrinthine corridors of the Vatican,
Wentworth jokes. Wentworth? BC greets him.
Campion, I've been receiving some complaints from independent stations. Do you have people out harassing the ND stations?
Harassing? BC asks. No, not harassing. Surveying, asking some questions so they could put a report together for me. I'm working on getting the Indies to join us, he explains. It's tied into changing the name of our currency. I wanted to see where they were at. I didn't want to surprise them.
The name of our currency? Those alliance dollars you've mentioned? Would you combine the UIN and UTZ currencies too?
Wentworth asks. Yes, I would. A unified currency.
Replacing both currencies? And their governments too, perhaps?
Not replacing their governments, just asking for their help and support, BC argues.
Don't play games with me, Campion. I've been at this way too long.
Ultimately, you're right. We need unity, Richard. We need an alliance, don't we? A single entity pooling and controlling our resources, helping us present a unified front against the Eldred and Dolome.
And that's you? I never figured you for a power-hungry dictator, Campion. I guess I've underestimated you,
Wentworth says, scorn dripping from his words. That's not what I mean, and I know you know better, BC admonishes him. Look, Wentworth, right now everything is in pieces, some here, some there, some somewhere else. We need to face them as one. We're stronger together than apart against these enemies. It's just common sense.
Come on, Campion. If there was such a thing as common sense, everyone would have it.
Touché, Wentworth, BC says. But I do hope I can count on your support for the Solar Alliance.
The Solar Alliance?
Wentworth says.
Solar Alliance, eh? That's the name? Best you could come up with?
He rolls the idea around in his head.
Sounds like science fiction to me, Campion.
Wentworth. We're dealing with aliens who want us dead. This is science fiction.
Touché right back at you then, Campion,
Wentworth says.
Are you going to abolish my UTZ Council?
Nah, BC answers. But we do need a better system of representation. The UTZ Council can become more like a cabinet, I guess, to a prime minister who leads a House of Commons, that sort of thing.
You're a regular political scientist, aren't you?
Wentworth says, his tone dripping sarcasm.
Can't we be a House of Lords?
He jokes.
Not enough of you, BC explains.
Your system sounds vaguely British.
My system is just good ideas right now, BC points out, and I'm open to suggestions.
When were you going to address this with the council, Campion?
I brought up the currency idea once already and got shot down, BC notes. I'm going to try again at our next UTZ council meeting. But I was planning on calling you tonight all along, Wentworth. You and I really are the UTZ council, you know it. So if you and I agree to the Solar Alliance, that's it, really. Isn't it? After the council agrees, we set up a representative democracy, put a structure in place with representatives voted on by the people. We'd only run things while we set up the government. Then we step aside, BC explains to Wentworth. I hope it'll give people something to fight for. I don't want to be a dictator.
You think that will work? You're an optimist.
Hell, Wentworth, I'm just making this up as I go along, BC admits and sighs.
Do you really believe Dolome and the Eldred will continue to give you the peace and quiet you need for your experiment in governance?
Wentworth challenges him. They could hit us at any time, BC says. He pauses for effect, looking around as if waiting for an attack to start. It stays quiet. Nothing? Good. Not yet, then. So I keep trying. And if you're really as smart as you think you are, Wentworth, you know that the real reason for an alliance is to finally, once and for all, unite the UTZ, the UIN, and the Project fleets and militaries.
Yes, I was getting to that,
Wentworth says. I'm heading out to the Project, BC tells him. They're promising to show me breakthroughs they've made in reverse engineering the Eldred technology. We need to be unified so we can apply the new tech to all of our ships, across the board, with no questions or confusion.
You're making a lot of sense. When do you want to meet with the UTZ Council again, then?
Sometime after the weekend, BC tells him. Maybe Monday, the 7th?
Good enough, Wentworth says. What should I tell them until then?
Whatever you want to.
In the Indy stations?
Join us and get the new currency. Or stay Indy and hold on to worthless currency.
Harsh. Not trying diplomacy.
Wentworth questions. Diplomacy is done. Join us or die, BC says with mock harshness. But he means it.
How progressive,
Wentworth says. Well, BC muses, that should be incentive enough.
Be careful not to reach for too much, BC.
BC can't help himself. He starts laughing.
What's so funny? Wentworth asks.
You, BC manages to get out past his laughing. You're funny. The man who made his fortune reaching for too much telling me not to reach for too much. That's rich.
Careful, Campion, you might hurt my feelings,
Wentworth mock protests. Yeah, right, you have feelings, BC says. Good night, Wentworth.
Good night, Campion.
BC stays at the Vatican through Mbeke's first official papal liturgy the next day. He catches a stinger out to Ceres after the ceremony. His mind races through his mental to-do list.
The Muslim and Christian negotiators have agreed to reconvene on March 8th. Alliance dollars should go into effect April 1st, meeting with the UTZ Council sometime after the weekend. See if we can make that happen. Dolomé is rampaging on out there somewhere. The Eldred continue to hang out there too, a threat waiting in the wings for the right excuse to attack us again. At least we have the Domo and the Flay's representatives on the moon, entertaining the media and showing the general public that not all aliens want to kill us. At least not directly. The Domo still freaked me out. Well, look at that. BC smiles. They're approaching the Ceres base, and as he looks out the ship's viewport, BC sees the Project has several new ships lined up, lining his arrival route, all glimmering with new tech adapted from the captured Eldred ship. It's a start. Hope the news is that they can reproduce the new tech on a larger scale. I feel like the next attack is coming any minute now. A gut feeling. I may just be paranoid.
BC's ship lands at the new base on Ceres. Chris and Dell lead the welcoming committee waiting for BC alongside his ship in the landing bay as he disembarks.
BC, did you see them?
Chris asks, before anyone has a chance to say hello. I did, they look nice, BC tells him.
Nice,
Chris responds, a little exasperation in his voice.
He could only see them, Dell points out. How much can you appreciate from mere appearances?
Chris, Dell, it's great to see you two, BC says. Those ships out there did look good. I hope that's just the beginning.
We've made some amazing breakthroughs, Chris insists. We're throwing a party in honor of our achievements. You're in plenty of time to join in the festivities.
I believe you will be very pleased, Dell tells BC. We've come quite far in applying the tech we've uncovered, making sure we can use it easily, plugging it into our current systems.
Can you? Have you made it that easy already? BC asks them. Plug-inable? Dell hesitates before he answers.
Well, yes, to some degree, he says.
What Dell isn't saying, Chris says, is that once we cracked the language and the codes, it became remarkably easy to figure out. It really wasn't that hard.
The cracking, as Chris describes it, was somewhat difficult, Dell says. But the application, once the tech was deciphered, almost took care of itself, really.
Really? BC asks, surprised. How's that?
The Eldred seem to follow the same sort of thought process as we do, Chris tells him. Does that make sense to you?
I think it does, BC grants him. Bottom line, what do you have for us?
Dell?
Chris says, deferring to the older, taller scientist.
Thank you, Dell says. We now have shields that match their shields, based on our adapted tech. We have what we're calling blasters. We started with their beam weaponry and converted it to turn the media it passes through into a building kinetic mass, creating a beam weapon that not only melts and burns, but also delivers a kinetic wallop.
I think I've felt that wallop before, BC comments.
Not actually likely, Del corrects him, or you would be dead. And our adapted beams, Del cracks a small grin, even deadlier.
Nice, BC compliments the man. So now we can withstand their attacks and hit them back even harder than they hit us?
Pretty much, Krish confirms. Slightly harder. We've also developed new navigational equipment, Del continues. We have a new array of sensors and survey tools. We are, however, still working on the majority of the data storage. The language barrier is still posing a problem in these areas, and there seems to be additional encryption on the non-technical stored data. It's hard to tell for certain.
We guess that there are navigational charts, histories, survey data,
Krish adds.
We just haven't cracked those codes yet.
Treasure yet to discover, BC notes.
Their drives are not as impressive as their armaments,
Del says with a small measure of disappointment.
There are even some aspects of their drive systems where we have developed superior technology. Our transspace drive beats their faster-than-light drives,
he says with some pride.
We've found some tweaks we can make to our drive, small refinements, based on what we've learned.
Great, BC says. There's an awkwardly long moment of silence.
That's kind of it,
Krish says a little sheepishly. That's fine, it's good, BC reassures them. It's enough. Now again, I gotta ask, can we reproduce these improvements on a massive scale? How fast can we retrofit our ships?
Which ones?
Krish asks. All of them, BC tells them. Project ships, UTZ, UIN, all of them. Krish and Del look at each other, both a little surprised.
All of them?
Krish asks, meekly. BC nods. And we need to crank out more new ships equipped with the latest tech we have fast as we can.
Ambitious,
Anita cracks, appearing out of nowhere to startle the other three.
Necessary, BC replies, finishing the thought. He jokes with Anita. Did you sneak up on us?
I'm just naturally stealthy, she says, amusement in her voice.
Do you want us to retrofit ships here? Del asks BC. We've built the facilities that allowed us to fix those ships you saw outside. We're small, but...
Better idea, BC says. Let's take back the asteroid base, locate our retrofitting operations there. That leaves the shipyards open to crank out new ships. BC is thinking on the fly. Send those ships I saw out there back to Mars and Earth right now. Have them replace ships there, take their place as those ships come here, so that we don't lose any numbers back there. Then we'll repeat that process, upgrading our ships and shifts, BC explains. How many ships are ready to go right now? He asks.
7,
Del tells him. BC thinks out loud. Let's see. Send 3 to Mars, 4 to Earth. Split the crews when they get there with the ones from the ships they replace. Leave a training crew and half of the original ship's crew on board our project ship. Bring the other half of the crew back here with their ship, and we'll train them here as their ship is retrofitted.
Done,
Del assures him. He turns and leaves to put the plan in motion. Krish turns and leaves with Del. He shoots a hurt and angry look back at BC before they leave the room.
What was that for? Was I too harsh? Damn.
How long until the party? BC asks Anita.
About 12 hours, she says. If Your Majesty is sure he can allow such celebrations, she says with heavy sarcasm.
What's that for?
You came on kind of authoritative. Kind of abrupt.
I did not. How long were you listening? BC protests.
I just gave them instructions on what to do next.
You didn't praise their efforts, she tells him.
What? I said great. Good job. That's praise, isn't it?
You didn't say great job. You just said good, she corrects him.
Jesus, BC sighs, exasperated. Look, I'll propose a toast to them at the party, okay? We can certainly take a few hours off to celebrate.
Thank you, Anita says, the sarcastic edge still in her voice.
Your Majesty.
She mockingly bows and leaves BC standing alone in the landing bay.
I never know how to take her. Was she serious?
BC just shakes his head. He finds out where he's staying. He heads to his room to take a nap before the party starts. A calm tone wakes him up.
BC, almost party time, Anita says over the comm. I thought you'd want an hour or so to get ready.
Very thoughtful. Thank you, Anita.
You're welcome, she says and then signs off.
There's still something, some tension there. Why is she so mad at me? Like I can puzzle that out. Can't worry about it too much. Let's party.
Watch the Eldred or Dolome attack while we're toasting ourselves.
They celebrate in style, turning the landing bay into a dance hall, a party zone with colored lights and music.
BC does indeed toast the scientists for their efforts, their labor, and hard work. The project pilots and training crews skip the party, acting on BC's orders, heading immediately back to Earth and Mars. After the party, BC and Anita spend the night together. The next morning, Anita sees him off as BC hops a ship back to Lunar Prime, leaving the project scientists to get back to their work. As BC's ship leaves Ceres, the first wave of UIN and UTZ ships arrives for retrofitting.
"We've got some breathing room. We've got to do all we can as fast as we can. Dolome or the Eldred could be back at any time. Our forces are small, but if we can keep it together, maybe we can survive. Maybe we can even win this fight. I hope we're stronger for all our trials. Not kind, not pretty, but resilient and strong."
That was Chapter 14 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. Not kind, not pretty, but resilient and strong. I like this ending a lot. Our forces are smaller, but if we can keep it together, maybe we can survive. Maybe we can even win this fight. I hope we're stronger for all our trials. Not kind, not pretty, but resilient and strong. I do like that. BC's getting a lot done while he's looking over his proverbial shoulder for alien attacks. We'll see if he, with some help from Wentworth, can make his grand ideas reality as we get into Chapter 15 of Vatican Abdicator on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. So yeah, as I was saying in book news, the comic book is progressing. Got some colored pages in, so I gotta letter those. Keep that moving, coming together. I'm writing the novel. Need to reapply myself after, like I said, a rough sort of week. So I will get back into that. And again, please support this podcast and my work on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Support this podcast. Please do. I appreciate your help. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.